So we had seen already in our Bible study that various letters were included in Scripture. Now, over the last, I'd say, 100 years or so, there have been many, many thousands of letters that have been written by the leadership of the church. Most of them are very interesting. They're online and can be easily accessed. But those letters never carried the same weight or authority as Scripture. Our authority of Scripture is in the Bible. The Bible is different. And the letters we find in that source are there for a reason, inspired by God to be there, and we can learn some lessons. So there are some fascinating letters in Ezra that we didn't read all of them. There is one over, first of all, before we get to Ezra, there's one over in Daniel that we're going to look at, and one needs to know about a letter in Ezra for it to all come into play. A lot of it's already been fulfilled. This is in Daniel 9. Today we're going to talk about, in our sermon here, the 70 weeks prophecy. The 70 weeks prophecy and what that means. Let's look in Daniel 9 and verse 24. Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined, or 70 sevens, are determined for your people and for your holy city to finish the transgression, make an end of sins, and then the other things are listed there. Notice that 70 weeks are determined for your people. Now, this was to Daniel. Daniel's people were the Jews, or Israelites, if you expand that. Okay, and the holy city, your holy city, that's Jerusalem. So your people, Jewish people, and your city, Jerusalem, 70 weeks. And there are six things that are to be determined by the end of the 70 weeks. 70 weeks are determined, and they're listed there. To finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, make reconciliation or atonement for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness, seal up vision and prophecy, and anoint the most holy. Now the Hebrew also adds place, anoint the most holy place. So by the time Jesus Christ ends his ministry, he at least partially fulfills the first couple of these things. By his sacrifice, Jesus provided a way for sin to be forgiven and buried. He became the atonement of our sins and reconciled us to God. But this also refers to a future time when an end of sins will take place, a true end of them, and bring in everlasting righteousness that'll last forever, and seal up the prophecy. There's prophecies not yet having occurred. So what does this all mean? What does this all mean? Verse 25 gives us the timing of the beginning of this prophecy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there'll be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. You add them together, 69 weeks. The street will be built, and the wall, even in troublous times. It's kind of interesting that after the edict went out that the Jerusalem should be rebuilt, it took about 49 years or so for it to be finally complete. So you have those 7 weeks, and then you have another 62 weeks. But anyway, 69 weeks until Messiah the Prince. Until Messiah the Prince. That's all we have here in Daniel. So in order to understand Daniel, we need to look at a letter found in Ezra. A historic document that is in the book of Ezra. And this is different than the decree that was given to Zerubbabel. So we go now back to Ezra 7, and let's look at this document that we did not read in the Bible study. Ezra 7. So Ezra 7, verse 12. Ezra 7, verse 12. Artaxerxes, the king of kings, or king of kings, which he was at that time because Persia was over all the empires of the world, to Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace to you. I issue a decree that all those of the people of Israel and the priests and Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go up with you. And whereas you are being sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. So he had the law. He had the book. Notice that he was given silver and gold, which was to be offered to the God of Israel. Verse 21, within this letter, I, Artaxerxes the king, issue a decree to all the treasurers who are in that region, that whatever Ezra the priest and the scribe of the law of God of heaven may require of you, let it be done diligently. And we see giving up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, and wine, and oil, and salt without any prescribed limit. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Why should there be wrath against me, as he's writing here? Verse 24, we inform you that it shall be not lawful to impose tax or tribute on any of the priests or Levites of the house of God. No taxes on those who served. Verse 25 then. And you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges who may judge the people who are in the region, as such as know the laws of your God, and teach those who do not know them. A command to teach the people in that area even, who may not have known the laws and commands of God. And whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily on him, whether it be death, banishment, confiscation of goods, or imprisonment. He had free leeway to punish in whatever way. And so we find that Ezra blessed God in verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who's put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and has extended mercy to me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. The question, though, is what year did this begin? So you have this letter that went out that Daniel says it was this document, this declaration. It was from that point until Messiah the priest. Then you have to go to Ezra and read the document. But what year did that happen? That's important for us to understand the full understanding of the 70 weeks prophecy. So let's look at verse 7 and 8. And we see an internal evidence within this letter of a historic event. Verse 7. They came to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. Verse 8. Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. It was in his seventh year. Now, according to Jewish sources, that seventh year ended in 457 BC. Began a little earlier, but it ended, that seventh year, in 457 BC. Now, that is the date that one must understand when we discuss the 70 weeks prophecy. Before we go back to Daniel, let's look at Ezekiel 4. Ezekiel 4, and we see a principle that is noted in prophecy. Ezekiel 4. And let's look at verse 4. Ezekiel was told to lie on his left side. According to the number of days that you lie on it, you shall bear the iniquity. I've laid on you the years of their iniquity, the years, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. When you have completed them, lie again on your right side, and you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I've laid on you a day for each year. A day for each year. And then remember, the spies went into the land for 40 days, and then they came back with an evil report. And God says, you're going to have to dwell in the wilderness for 40 years, each day that the spies were in the land. So with all this in mind now, let's go to Daniel 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that going from forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there'll be the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks. So a total of 69 weeks, and then you have the 70th week. 69 weeks. And remember, 70 weeks are 70 sevens. So there's 7 days in a week times 69 weeks, and you come up to 483 days. 483 days, or in this case, 483 years. So using 457 as a benchmark, seventh year of Artaxerxes, you start then subtracting from 457, because you go backwards in time. And then AD, you go forward in time, but you count backwards. So 457 BC, you add 483 years, and you have to add one extra year because there is no year zero. So you have to go from, 1 BC to 0, and then 0 to 1. So you have to add another year. Anyway, when you do that all together, it shows we come up to 27 AD in the fall of 27 AD. That is the year in which Jesus Christ began his ministry, the year that he was baptized, and he started his preaching. His preaching began the 70th week. So 69 weeks are passed up until Messiah the Prince. He's now there. Now you begin a seven-year period, the 70th week. Something happens in that 70th week that is explained in verse 26 and 27. Now, we're not going to get into all the details of these verses in the sermon, but I do recommend the article that is online in Life, Hope, and Truth, titled The 70 Weeks of Daniel, What Does It Mean? It was written by Mr. Henson, And it thoroughly covers and answers some questions about verse 26 and 27. But as an overview, let's just see what happened in that 70th week. It began in 27 AD. Verse 26. After 62 weeks, or you have to add that other 7 weeks, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. Messiah cut off. So he's going to be cut off. Now the context of the verse changes to the people of the prince. You see that there? The people of the prince. Not the prince, but the people of the prince will come in, destroy the city, desolations will occur. And so it did occur in 70 AD that Roman armies, the people under Titus, General Titus, came in and destroyed Jerusalem. That happened, and we know in the future a great beast power with his armies are going to come in and trod Jerusalem down. Now, verse 27 goes back to Messiah, the Messiah who is cut off, and we see it further explained. He shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, that's that 70th year, but in the middle of the week, he'll bring an end to sacrifice and offering. Then the rest of the verse goes back to the people of the prince and what they will do. So from these two verses, as an overview, what we're seeing here is that the Messiah will be cut off, and specifically in the middle of the week. It refers both to the prophetic week and to the literal physical week. So Jesus Christ preaches for 3.5 years. He is crucified in the spring of 31 AD. That is 3.5 years after 27 AD. That's the middle of the prophetic week. 3.5 years ended of that 70th week. Also, it was on a Wednesday of the physical week that Jesus Christ died. And Wednesday's the middle of the week, which is interesting, within the middle of the week. Now, let's look at this one phrase here, confirm a covenant. In the Hebrew, it means to make a firm covenant, or to make strong the covenant, or to confirm it, to bind it up, to make it strong. In other words, to confirm it means to establish and strengthen a covenant. And we find Isaiah 42, verse 21, a prophecy. Isaiah 42, verse 21, of what Jesus Christ would do when he would come. Isaiah 42, verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will exalt the law and make it honorable. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He magnified the law. And he strengthened the law. So we now know that there is the new covenant, and it's a binding and it's a strengthening of the laws of God. And Jesus magnified the law, the spiritual intent of the law, like he did on the Sermon on the Mount. You know, you do not murder means you cannot hate one another. If you hate somebody, you break the law of murder. Jesus continued to emphasize that covenant, and then he was crucified. Something happened when Christ died. Matthew 27, verse 51. Matthew 27, verse 51. Matthew 27, verse 51. We see that Jesus cried out, he yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split. That veil separated the Holy of Holies, where no one could go in except once a year by the high priest on the Day of Atonement. That veil was ripped in two from top to bottom. It allows us symbolically to have direct access to God the Father. And we don't have to go through a physical human priest. We go through our high priest. Jesus Christ is now our high priest. And so we have no need for physical sacrifices or a human high priest from that time on. By his atoning sacrifice, he brought an end to sacrifice, animal sacrifice and offerings. Now, the Jews did continue to offer sacrifices until the destruction of the temple, but it was no longer required by God because you go through Jesus Christ. One of the reasons why the book of Hebrews was written was to convince the Jews that Jesus' sacrifice and the introduction of the new covenant, showing that was what was necessary and not the sacrificial system. Hebrews 10, verse 11. Hebrews 10, verse 11. Hebrews 10 and verse 11. Every high priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice of sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. That's where Christ is right now. He's our high priest. Verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And we go to God through him. But here's the question. That was the first part of the 70th week. There's another 3.5 years to that week. It really seems that the work of the Messiah has not totally been completed according to the list found in Daniel 9, verse 24. Not all those six items have been completed. As we read earlier, it just seems that there has to be something more for that 70th week to be completed. It is not clear from this prophecy in Daniel, nor from Ezra, when the rest of the events of the 70th week will be fulfilled. However, there does seem to be a hint here in Hebrews. Notice verse 12. Notice verse 12. Let me see here. Hebrews 10, verse 12. So he sits at the right hand of the Father from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Christ is waiting on the throne with God until he returns, until he deals with the enemies. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them. After those days, I will put my law in their hearts, in their minds I will write them. And he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that's a real complete issue there, speaking about taking away of sins. It seems to indicate that the last half of the 70th year will not be totally fulfilled until sometime after Christ returns. That's what we don't know yet about the ending of that 70th week. But what we do know for sure is that the prophecy in Daniel was based on the proclamation made by King Artaxerxes. And each part of that prophecy is found in two different books, in Daniel and in Ezra. So why is this all relevant to us in 2022? Here we have been for the last hour or so sitting and listening to all this history and some prophecy. Why is this relevant to us? I believe there's three things that we can take away from this. Number one, what we've seen is that God is exact. When he sets forth a prophecy, it is exact. He knows exactly when things will take place. We as humans have to rely on God and wait on God. But they do come to pass. We may not understand all the prophecies. We may not understand where they all fit in. And there's some we don't understand. And we speculate. But we know for sure that God is exact. He has given us some outlines. And they will come to pass. And that's something we can always bank on and be encouraged about. Secondly, we need to trust in God's word for everything. It is a full book. It is a book that is connected by inspiration. Scripture is a proof of God. This book gives us a proof of God. I've been reading in some of the latest statistics how so many people in this country no longer believe in God. And yet, this book, the Bible, when one really looks through it and sees how God inspired this, it's incredible that this is God's handiwork, and he's given it to us so we can understand. And finally, point number three is that God has given us a future. This isn't all there is to life. There is a future. It is coming. Again, we don't know how long it will be, but it will come. And Christ will return. And whatever has been said about him in the past, he's going to fulfill. And he will bring about the millennial rule and the kingdom of God. And that is our hope. That is our hope. So when we go through topics such as this, and I know that there's a lot of historic information here and background, but still we could take the overall view and look at, hey, this has to apply to me now. And the way it applies to me now is I've got to trust God, and he'll make it all work.